Chapter 16. Brynhild Sigurd ran her far-flung empire from a turret office high above the sprawling Viking edifice she called Valhalla. The windowless room was built in an exact circle, the geometric form closest to perfection. The walls were stark white and unadorned by paintings or wall hangings. She sat in front of a flat-screen monitor and a telephone console of white plastic. It was all she needed to be in instant touch with her operations around the world. The temperature was kept at a cool 38 degrees summer and winter. The few who had been allowed into this area compared it to being in a walk-in refrigerator. But it suited her fine. As a girl growing up on an isolated farm in Minnesota, she had come to love the cold and reveled in the purity to be found in sub-freezing temperatures. She would ski alone for hours under the stars, ignoring the icy chill that stung her cheeks. As she grew in height and strength, she distanced herself even more from humanity, the little people, as she called them, who saw her as a freak. At school in Europe, her natural brilliance allowed her to excel at her studies even when she seldom attended class. Those times when she couldn't hide and had to suffer the stares of others only drove her ambition, fueled her smoldering resentment, and planted the seeds for her megalomania. She was talking on the speakerphone.
"Thank you for your support of the Colorado River legislation, Senator Barnes. Your state stands to gain quite handsomely for your key vote, especially when your brother's firm starts picking up contracts for the work we have planned. I hope you've taken advantage of the suggestions I've made."
"Oh, yes, ma'am, I have, thank you. I've had to avoid the conflict of interest thing, of course, but my brother and I are quite close, if you know what I mean."
"I do, Senator. Have you talked to the President?"
"I just got off the phone with his chief of staff. The White House will veto any bill that seeks to overturn the privatization legislation we passed. The President is a firm believer that the private sector can always do a better job than government, whether it's running prisons, Social Security, or pumping water."
"What sort of backing does the Kincaid bill have?"
"Only a scattering of votes, nothing serious. Damn shame about Kincaid having that accident. I always liked the man. But without him around to whip up the troops, an override is bound to fail."
"Excellent. How are the other privatization bills faring?"
"They'll do just fine. You'll be seeing publicly run water facilities being privatized all over the country."
"So there are no problems?"
"One, maybe. The biggest pain in the butt is the editor of the daily paper in my state capital. He's raising a ruckus, and I'm afraid he might bollocks things up."
She asked the editor's name and made a mental note of the senator's answer. Her desktop was free of pen and paper. She committed everything to memory. "By the way, Senator Barnes, was the contribution to your re-election campaign sufficient?"
"Yes, ma'am, it was very generous, considering I'm running unopposed. Having a big war chest discourages the opposition."
A red light was blinking on the phone console. "We'll speak again. Goodbye, Senator." She pressed a button, and a door opened in the wall of the room. The Krodzik brothers, wearing their usual black leather, stepped inside.
"Well?" she said.
The thin lips widened in identical metallic smiles.
"We have fired the Mexican farmer. And lawyer, as you ordered."
"No complications?"
They shook their heads.
"The authorities will spend little time on the farmer's case," she said. "The lawyer had many enemies. Now to other matters. There have been some developments on the explosion at our Mexican operation."
She touched the screen, and two photos appeared. One of the photos, taken by a surveillance camera, showed Austin and Zavala in the reception area of the tortilla plant. The other picture was an enlarged shot of the two men standing on the deck of the Sea Robin off Ensenada. Brynhild's eye went to the wide-shouldered man with the silver-white hair for a moment, then shifted to the handsome, dark-haired man.
Do you know who these men are?
The brothers shrugged.
That's Kurt Austin, head of NUMA's Special Assignments Team, and Jose Zavala, a member of the team.
When can we eliminate them?
The temperature in the cool room seemed to drop another 20 degrees.
If they were responsible for the destruction of the Baja facility, they will pay with their lives, Brynhild said. But not now. There's a minor problem to be taken care of.
She gave them the name of the newspaper editor and said,
That's all. You can go.
The brothers hastened from the room like a pair of dogs sent to fetch a bone, and Brynhild was alone again. She sat there brooding about the Baja facility. All that work wasted. Even worse, the supply of the catalyst was destroyed in the blast. She stared with hate-filled eyes at the faces of the two men on the computer monitor.
Little people, she snarled.
With a wave of her hand, the screen went blank.